remember just that image of these two guys coming in and just dominating the gym. Like, this is our gym now.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You know what I mean? Exactly what I was thinking. We decided to come here for a while, and it's our gym now. So, hello. Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding. Dusty Hanshaw, Scott the Producer McNally, myself, Big Ron Partlow. Like, share, subscribe, comment, and...
ring the bell.
There you go.
Ring it.
Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Remember, IamMutant.com. Go to IamMutant.com. Get your IsoSurge. Get your all in. Everyone should get on the gear. And of course, use the code Dusty20, BigRon20. Either one. They both work. Regardless of what Dusty tells you. And of course, the Think Big Patreon. Scott, the producer, has a Patreon for the channel. Keep all these shows rolling. What are all the shows again, Scott? Just say I'm in Blood, Sweat, and Gear.
Blood, Sweat, Gear, Muscle Minds, Drugs and Stuff. Although we don't actually say that name on the show anymore just to help us stay monetized. We've got all sorts of reaction stuff, you know, with you guys. It's just bodybuilding reacts. I've been doing reacts with John Hansen. And we've got a new show with Kuba. So we got a lot going on. So
yeah. What's the show Muscle Minds called again?
We don't have a name. We don't even have a name. We've been asking people each week. It's kind of becoming like a running thing.
What's it about? We need to. I will create a name. I'm good at this.
It's about training, Dusty. It's about
hard training. You're welcome.
Scott's show with Kuba.
Jeez. All right. Wow. Okay.
Yes, that's it all.
Everyone, help us.
And you could just call it SS. Scott's show WK. SSWK. Just get SSWK.
Yeah,
that's it. And it could just be SSWK. Scott's show with Kuba.
It's been good. It's been good. And he's getting ready now, too, I think, for Spain. So we talk, too, about training, and then we talk about how it applies to him each episode as he's dieting right now.
I love it.
Perfect. I like training with Kuba. He trained real smart. It was like the sets were perfect. He didn't do a lot of forced reps. I remember we were just doing one forced rep per body part.
Okay.
So like we started with the flex incline. It's on the Mutant on a Mission episode. And we just go to failure. Like you're just hitting your fail rep where the bar stops.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And then there was the one set we did a forced rep on. And then the rest of the sets were just a straight ass failure. It was good. I thought, I don't break. I'm not going to break training with him. But super smart. And then he's strong as shit.
Yeah.
But like the form was perfect. And it was a good workout.
And it changes for him. Like we did a show about matching your training to your fuel source, to your food. And so how do you train during your prep, during, you know, like your recovery phase, during your off season? And how does that change? He uses the term intensifiers for things like rest, pause, drop sets, all of that. And so he'll remove those things when he's in that diet phase to still go to hard failure, but then, you know, gets rid of the stuff that would maybe eat into his strength. So that way he can stay strong. Yeah.
I remember they sort of do that through the off season too. That was also a Dorian thing. Like I remember Dorian saying that he would do no forced reps at all for like 6 weeks at a time sometimes. You know, and I think he probably lined it up with like the, you know, coming the down supplements. Or whatever. The supplements. You know? So, okay. What's the big topic for today? Not that that wasn't great, but we did have one planned.
So we dropped a couple really good reaction videos this past week. We got the Branch Warren one out. We got the Jay Cutler one out. And thank you, by the way, everybody, for your comments and all the likes and stuff. People don't realize it, but just simply hitting the like button helps YouTube to get our show out there. So everybody who's watching, we appreciate you guys for all that stuff. But we got one comment in particular on the Branch video. And looks like we lost Ron's camera there. Ron, can you still hear us?
Yeah, I could still hear you, but I'm nowhere to be seen. I'll just leave and come back.
All right.
He's been doing a lot of leaving and coming back today. I don't know what's going on.
We're going to have to fire this guy pretty soon.
He has life together. I mean, if he didn't have such good stories, he'd be gone, but I can't tell a story, so he's back.
There we go.
All right. So we got this. One of the comments was, I was a teenager training at Metroflex during this time. The energy around there was insane. To be 16 years old, seeing these guys every day that you see in the magazines, on top of the whole industry, being all about hardcore training was amazing. That time was my personal golden age of bodybuilding. And that just made me think, imagine what it would be like to learn about bodybuilding at that time, in that environment. And it got me thinking, what were the early experiences you guys had, you know, coming up in the gym? Because you guys weren't always big Ron Partlow and DC, you know, Dusty Hanshaw. So what was it like for you? What inspired you guys in the gym? Who did you see? Who were the big guys? Do you remember any stories from back in the day?
Of course.
I got lots. I'll tell one.
Only one.
There's a gym in Calgary that was called Pro Bodies. And it was there for a long time. Like, I don't know what year it opened, but it was probably late 80s. And then it was just there like all through the 90s and, you know, 2000s. And whenever I went to Calgary, I would go train at Pro Bodies. And the owner's name was Rick. And Rick was like a super, you know, big heavyweight bodybuilder. He's a good guy. And everybody knew him. And of course, Calgary is where all the wrestling was, oh, right? Yeah. The Harts lived in Calgary, right? The Hart School. Stu Hart had his wrestling school there. Calgary was very, very common to run into high-level pro wrestlers that were maybe coming up to see the Harts or, you know, just all that sort of stuff, right? And, of course, Stampede Wrestling was really big across the country in Canada. That was like a feeder league for the WWF at the time. You know, guys would start in Stampede Wrestling and they'd be on Canadian television and, you know, the good guys would get pulled down to the States, you know. And so anyways, long story short, is you go to Pro Body sometimes and you'd see like Davey Boy Smith or Jim Neidhart or Bret Hart or, you know, like any of those, like that whole crew of guys, you know, training there. And Davey Boy Smith was like, I mean, he benched like four plates for reps. So, yep. You know, you're like 17 years old and you go to Pro Bodies because you're like, oh, I'm going to the big bodybuilder gym in the big city. Yeah. And you get there and Davey Boy Smith's there benching four plates for reps and like laughing, ah, you know, and his accent. He's like, just like, what a crew. You know, there was pro football players in there and all the bodybuilders from that city trained there. And of course, the older guys. But you'd go in there and I remember there was one guy had a gray beard, so I knew he was like 50. And he was moving like the 150 dumbbells, just hauling them off on the incline. Like, and this was in like 94. Like, you didn't see 50-year-old dudes grabbing 150s and just smashing them for sets of 10 and, you know, that sort of stuff. And it's everybody squatting five plates. And but just seeing the pro wrestlers in there was, you know, I remember Brutus the Barber Beefcake was in there one day.
No,
like just hilarious, like superstars, right? Like, you know, Hulk Hogan trained there. I mean, everybody went there. Macho Man went there to train. Everybody went there when they were in Calgary, you know? So, but I remember just seeing those guys and, you know, I'm a bodybuilder, but these guys are like superstars, you know, especially to a kid, you know, like back in those days, you see a WWF superstar in the gym and you're just like, damn, you know, and they were larger than life. You know, Davey Boy was big. He was bodybuilder big.
That's cool. So how old were you, did you say, when you went there?
Well, I would have been like anywhere between 17 and 23.
Okay. You know, every so time you, I went you to were Calgary. Big. You were big by then. You weren't just like a kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like
I was
kid,
getting
right?
big. Oh, yeah. 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 I was getting big. Yeah, for sure. So, but they were bigger because it was Davey Boy Smith, man. Bench of four plates. Yeah. It's the British Bulldog, man, you know? It's awesome.
How about you, Dusty?
You know, so when I first moved back to Arizona, when my hockey days were done, I found a Gold's Gym, and it happened to be the gym in the East Valley of Arizona that all the bodybuilders went to. And I remember walking in and just seeing bodybuilders for the first time, like good bodybuilders. And it was, I kind of followed bodybuilding indirectly, like most kids our age did back then. Like, even though I wasn't big into it, I would buy the magazines every now and then. I knew who Sean Ray was and Kevin Lavoni and Ronnie Coleman and Jay Cutler, all these guys prior to getting into bodybuilding, because you just kind of somewhat watched. It was like watching superheroes. So seeing him in the flesh was really wild. And I remember it clicking that that's what I wanted to do. I was like, okay, if I can't play hockey anymore, I want to look like that. I just want to be a freak, you know? And so I was 20 and I was kind of watching from the distance, seeing what they were doing, but more just impressed. Cause when you've never seen someone in shape and the body move, it is different. Like to us now, you don't think anything of it, but seeing someone in shape and but just something as simple as a curl and watching the bicep and the brachialis and everything move like blew your mind. So we just moved back. I got into the gym. I was staying at my mom's for a couple of weeks waiting for my apartment to open up. So we get our apartment and it's a nice place. It's got a pool. So I go down to the pool and I'm sitting there and I'm laying by the pool. And all of a sudden I see this guy walk in. And I consider myself a relatively straight man. And he took his shirt off. And his wife had a ridiculous body. And I was not watching her. I was completely like, that's the guy from the gym. And now his shirt is off. Yeah. And it's freakier than I thought. I mean, because he was in shape. And I'm just like, how is this real life? So a few months go by and I decided, screw it, I'm committing. And I went up to him in the gym. I knew his name at this point. And I was like, hey, Robert, his name's Robert Farrow. He has his own gym now in Arizona. He helps so many people. But I was like, I want to get huge. How do I do it? And this is where things changed from back then to now. He didn't want to talk to me about, you know, the perfect grams of this or that. He grabbed a piece of paper, a pen, and he wrote out a diet. And one of the meals was to go to Jack in a Box every day and get two chicken fajita pitas, double chicken, side of fries, and a slice of cheesecake. That was one of my meals. And I did it every day as if that was the only thing I could eat. I was like, done. And so that was the beginning of me starting to get big into bodybuilding. And what made it really cool was fast forward, I don't know, a decade. And I got him ready for his last show when he did Masters Nationals and he missed his pro card by a point.
Oh, you're kidding.
No way.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it was wild because I'm like, I'm prepping you now. That's interesting. But he got nasty and he always did. I mean, you look back at how bodybuilding has changed because there were less shows back then.
Mm-hmm.
So when you would go to a show, they were stacked. I mean, there'd be 15 guys coming to win.
Well, there's only bodybuilding too.
You know, and it was you remember, Ron, I mean, you'd go to the shows and it was like after prejudging, everybody'd be out front like, oh, I got him. I got this guy. So it was really cool to come up like that and see those guys. And I still look back and think of that. So when you're in the gym now, I think you start to realize that there are probably kids and people watching you that you don't know. Cause I mean, I didn't say a word to them for months.
Yeah.
I just kind of watched from the side, like, man, you know, so there was that. And unlike Ron, I have to give two stories because there's one that just changed my life forever, which getting ready for my first show and seeing the guy who was going to win the overall a few weeks later walk out from the bathroom in just his trunks. I was like, we aren't doing the same thing. And I was in his class and it was awesome. I mean, just seeing, because you know then and there, I think again, that's a change that I don't know that everyone has, is I was like, I need to know what he's doing and not doing to be that lean. I'm not even talking about the size. I wasn't worried about that, but he was peeled and I worked hard and I was lean. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, there's something to be learned here, you know? And again, I think the big takeaway that I hope this guy had that was watching them is all these guys were down to help me. Yeah. I just ask, you know, I mean, I didn't ask them to like prep me, but if I had a question, they would answer, you know? And then it got to the point where if I was doing something stupid, they'd come tell me, like, hey, knock that off. But yeah, those are good times, man. I mean, as soon as I read that question, I'm like, oh, I could go for an hour and a half on my own on all these stories.
I figured you could. That's why I wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah, I'll do a second quick one.
That away. Yes.
I'll be quick. So I remember one day I was at the gym. I was in high school, like grade 11. And it was like super, super cold out, like minus 30 Celsius. Like, you know, you'll die outside if you're not wearing the right clothes, you know.
Canada cold.
Yeah, Canada cold. You know, 4 feet of snow, the plows, it's just snow banks everywhere. You know, the snow plows have been, snow plows have been up and down the street and setting the scene. It's just like winter, absolute Canadian winter, right? You're trudging through the snow up the sidewalk to get to the gym door because they haven't been able to shovel it fast enough. Like crazy. And I'm looking out the window between sets and the window's covered in frost. Like the corners have thick frost in them. And it's like, I'm setting the scene, right? And the gym is very humid inside because of course, you know, the conditions, like everyone's, you know, steam coming off them when they walk in the door and it's like super cold. Anyways, this little Festiva or whatever.
The car?
Yeah. The little three cylinders. Remember?
Yeah, Ford Festiva, maybe? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It pulls up out front and it's like having a hard time on the road because there's like so much snow. It's been plowed, but it's like, you know, kind of sliding around. And the guy parks it right in front of the gym and these two huge monsters get out. Like they're both 250. And back in like 1991, there weren't a lot of 250 pound monsters, right? These two guys get out big, like army green winter jackets with the hoods up.
Yeah.
And like, and work boots and the Gators gym pants tucked into the work boots. And they get out and they get their bags and it's in this little tiny car. So it's just visually hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's visually very impactful. And I'm like, what, these two huge monsters just got out of that little Ford Festiva? This is ridiculous. And they come up to the gym. I'd never seen them before. Turns out they had been at another gym for years, but they just wanted to try the other gym because there's only two main gyms in town. And they just came to my gym and I just hadn't seen them yet. And they came in, you know, stomping the boots, snow off their boots. And like everyone turns like, who are these two guys? And they, you know, start, they get a day pass or whatever, take off the winter jackets. They got the Gators gym, California body wear, you know, the tank tops with the boat neck shirts, big, huge guys, 250 pounds each. And the one, they, one guy's got long, like brown hair, you know, like kind of a hockey mullet. And then the other guy's got like Conan hair, but it's blonde, like long hair. They both had long hair. So they look like barbarians. Like they were like the closest thing I'd ever seen to the Barbarian Brothers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they come in.
I mean,
in
that's who I was picturing, by the way.
That's, it's, you know? Like, I'm just thinking like, oh, we have a set of Barbarian Brothers at this gym right now. Like I'm in, like, that's what I'm thinking. Right?
Yeah.
And they come in and they throw the bar on the rack. They pull the safeties out, right? Old school. Zing.
Oh, yeah.
Pull
the safeties out. Don't want those.
Zing. Both safeties come out. And they start squatting the bar. And they start stacking plates against the rack. Ding, ding. Getting them ready. Making sure no one takes their plates. And they put five plates on the floor on each side. And I'm like, oh, shit. And remember, 1991.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? So I'm like, these guys are getting down to business. And they, you know, one plate for 10, two plate for 10, three plates for 10. Four plates for 10, and it's a grind. And then they throw the five plates on, wrap up the knees, like hardcore, like, you know what I mean? And everyone in the gym is like, ah. And I mean, I was already training hard and there were already bodybuilders in the gym, but these two guys just showed up. They're stealing the show.
Yeah.
Right. And they five plate it. They both five plates. They get like at least six to eight reps each, you know, they're, you know, hollering and making noise. And
yeah.
And after they're done the five, they do a back off set. Like they're not even thinking like the terms we use. It's just how they train.
Right.
And then, and then they finish squatting and they go over to the leg press and they keep their workout going. And I remember just that image of these two guys coming in and just dominating the gym. Like, this is our gym now.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You know what I mean? Exactly what, like, I was thinking. We decided to come here for a while and it's our gym now. So hello. And it was just, it's such a crazy visual to me at that age. I wound up becoming really great friends with the one dude. The other guy moved away. Kevin moved away. But Eric, I mean, Eric's like a lifelong friend of mine. And it's just, I tell that story to people sometimes because I'll never forget those two monsters getting out of that Festiva and how insane the whole gym changed when they came in and started squatting. It was like everyone was on notice. They were like, oh, of course, no collars. They used to rattle the plates like crazy.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, just awesome.
Do the plastic plates don't rattle?
No,
so you might
no.
Collars.
Just yeah, like it was, it's fine. You know, and they wouldn't like. I remember they'd squat and like one of the plates might wiggle out a little too far.
Oh yeah,
and they just keep squatting like. Yeah. Just, that's just part of the functional fitness element of squatting with no collars.
That's what they were thinking. Functional, make it functional.
Yeah, Eric LaRue and Kevin Jones. I'll never forget those two guys.
It's crazy.
That's amazing.
We had a couple of guys, and I became friends with one of them, Scott Hughes. And I had seen Scott Hughes since back at Powerhouse Canton. So after I got serious into bodybuilding, I started going to Powerhouse. I wanted to go to a Powerhouse gym. And there was like a Powerhouse gym in literally, at the time, every city around me. You could go to Powerhouse Westland. You go to Powerhouse Livonia. You go to Powerhouse Canton. And then they had one up in Farmington Hills. So I chose Canton. It wasn't that far from me. It was a good gym. They all were about the same. They all were outfitted like in the 90s, had like the full hammer strength lineup. You know, the incline hammer, the flat hammer, the decline hammer. You'd see those three at every gym. Every single one of these gyms had everything about the same. Maybe one of them would have like the hammer shrug machine and the other one would have something else, you know, something random like that. But I remember Scott was in there with his brother and his dad would train at the same time. Now, his dad was really old. Like I'm talking like hobbling over. But he would spend about a good half hour at the squat rack, and he'd load that thing up as heavy as he could. I can't remember what he was doing, but he was at least doing a few plates. Like he was pushing at least a couple plates, I think maybe getting into three, and he'd only do like one rep though, but just keeping his strength. But Scott, on the other hand, he was a big guy. Like him and his brother, they were both like taller, stockier guys, like kind of like your build, Ron, just like a taller guy, wider frame, you know. And they were both really strong, but Scott kept training. And so we'd kind of follow each other around. Like after Canton closed down, we both went over to Novi. You know, so I'd see him. I'd known him for years. He got to be really big too, like super heavy big. And the thing about him is he was so loud. He was so loud. He would get kicked out of gyms because he made so much noise. It was like to the point where it was too much. You know what I mean? Like it was over the top. But like Powerhouse Farmington or Powerhouse Novi was the world headquarters, 60,000 square foot gym. When you're over at the counter and you're checking in and they're trying to make it into like more like a fitness club kind of feel. Because it's their world headquarters. It's in a very nice area. And Scott is literally the other side of a 60,000 square foot gym, around a corner and down a ways, and you could hear him squatting from that front, like while you're checking up. Like, oh yeah, Scott's here. So yeah, he ended up getting kicked out probably a handful of times. In fact, do you remember, Ron, we did that podcast years ago? I called it The Death of the Hardcore Gym, and I interviewed you.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. I interviewed Scott, too, about getting kicked out of gyms on that same episode.
No way.
Yeah. Wow, but he's a cool dude. Funny. He was a cool dude, and I still remember when I was getting serious into it, watching him training, just thinking, oh, my God, those guys are so freaking strong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. First time you see somebody repping five plates on the squat when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, whew.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting like, you know, you're squatting two plates and you're just
right?
Like, damn. Oh man. Okay, we got some listener questions, buddy.
Guys, we have a bunch of listener questions. And I want to remind everybody to comment below because we can always use more.
Yes.
So we did get this was more of a comment. This was on the Jay Cutler one. He said, do you guys think there's a chance you could invite Aceto on the show? We've had him on a couple times.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah.
We've had him on twice.
Yep.
And he had the same technology both times on his side. All right. We're hoping that eventually technology gets to the point where Chris doesn't have to think about it at all. It just happens for him automatically.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start requiring one of his kids be there with him.
Right, to run the thing for him.
Because your youngest son there, perfect. Have him set this up.
Yeah. All right, question for the next show. You only have bands and dumbbells backstage, maybe a pull-up bar. What would your pump-up routine be? And when I thought about that, I thought of my first show where they actually had like an entire, one of the local gyms would bring all the weights and there would be a room where do you guys remember that? They'd have all the real weights there. They don't do that anymore so much for state shows.
Yeah. I don't need dumbbells at all. I mean, back in the day we had them.
Because it was cool.
What they would supply, it'd be a bunch of dumbbells on the floor, but I would just need like a set of 20s.
Yeah.
15s even. And I would just like, and do some push-ups. But you got to remember, the day of the show, you only have so much blood. Like, you can't pump every body part, right? And, you know, there's, I think quads and triceps can lose detail if you pump them too much, I think, usually. Yeah. Sometimes lats. Some guys, their lats get crazier when they pump them. So you only have so much blood. So, you know, you just got to kind of look at your physique and say, like, you know, do I need to pump my delts? Like, maybe your delts are crazy and your pecs are kind of flat. So I would just do like a bunch of push-ups and try to drive more blood to your chest. So think that way. Like, what actually makes you look better? You know, when you pose after your workouts, do you look better on delt day? Do you look better on chest day? Do you look crazy on how your back look nuts when it's pumped? Or does it kind of lose detail and fog out a bit? So it's just, I don't know your body. You don't have to pump everything. Bands are plenty. We used to use a towel. Just get two guys with a towel and you'd row with the lats, do lat rows of the towel, or you do the buddy laterals and the one guy's doing his delts and the guy's doing his pecs and do buddy laterals. We used to do that. And then just some push-ups, you know, get the veins in your arms going, do some, you know, band curls and you're good.
I think the first thing I would say regarding pumping up in general is you need to be ready to pose. Do not have a workout backstage and then be shocked when you're exhausted for posing. I mean, like you will see it even at the national level with newer people. I'll watch them and they're like working out over there and I haven't even gotten oil yet. I'm just sitting in the corner waiting. My entire routine prior to going on stage would be when they said, okay, hurry up. I was like, okay, so we have 25 more minutes because they're always way too early.
Right.
Wait till the very end. And then literally I would do lateral raises with the bands, some curls, and then just leaning into a bench, some close grip push-ups, and I was ready to go. Like, it doesn't take. And then when I'm waiting in line, I would just kind of like squeeze muscle, do a row with no weight, squeeze your back, and you'd be good to go. So I think if anything, I would recommend underdoing it to overdoing it. I ordered bands for Nikki to have backstage. I'm like, here's your bands. You're going to need to work on these for 3.5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I think that pumping up is technically overrated. That's over focused on. I think that posing, you should run through several rounds of poses. Like, don't kill yourself and over, but you got to really get all your tissue moving and stuff is good. Flexing and squeezing. It's like Dusty said, but you know, when you do your videos, I mean, so here's something you should be videoing your posing, right?
Yep.
And you should be doing multiple rounds and you should be thinking to yourself, oh, I always look better on my third round. My back and glutes are always tighter after. So then do those rounds backstage, right? Like, some people don't think of that. They're like, oh yeah, I look great in my pictures when I take the fourth video and screenshot it, right?
Yep.
So yeah.
They only do one round, that'll land you in fourth place.
Yep. I liked I found one that nobody ever told me, hey, you should do upright rows. But for me, upright rows just kind of like filled everything out up top, plus got my biceps. So for me, upright rows were always one that I'd always do with the band. And it's just, I figured, hey, this looks really good for me because it kind of hit like everything from that like shoulder girdle plus the biceps. I was like, I like this one a lot.
Yoked you out.
Yes, yoked me out. I remember they had, there was a show when I went on my grand tour in 2017 and I was like, I'm going to do a show in LA. And they had the pump up area in the back and then the door was open so you could go outside in the sun and pump up with the heat coming down on you and stuff.
Yeah.
That was a good feel. It was because Detroit, you really didn't have any of those options. There's no go out in the sun, especially if it's like an April show. You know what I mean?
There is no sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is no sun.
I remember I was at a show one time and I was, it was night show. And we were just backstage and there was this one old guy. He's like a master.
Yeah.
And he was covered in veins, like just sick in the morning. I saw him and he's just one of those guys, right?
Yeah.
And then he comes walking around the corner at the night show and he's even crazier. And I go, dude, what did you eat? And he goes, oh no, I just been standing in the sun. he found like a side door. He's like this old veteran, and he's like, I'm looking for some heat. You know, like remember Dave Pusinelli used to take the blow dryer? He had the blow dryer thing. Just put So he's like, nah, I found a door. I got some sun on me. Look at my quads. And he's like, show me. That's my amazing old man impression, by the way.
Yeah. Your impressions are becoming infamous. So keep those rolling.
He sounded like a sailor. Yeah, essentially.
I did.
I'm
thinking I did have one. I got a story I got to tell you guys. This was at the Redford Theater in Detroit. So this is a pretty, they stopped doing shows at the Redford, by the way. And part of it was like kind of the, because of this incident, because of the crime, they stopped doing shows there and they kind of took it out to the suburbs, but it's a beautiful old theater. And I could tell you all about that. But the story was the backstage sucked. It was like the size of my office and there's like one light bulb hanging down and the walls are painted black. So you can't see anything back there and everybody's trying to pump up. And I know we had 15 minutes. The other option was to like walk behind the curtain, the back of the stage, along the curtain, along the wall. And then it opened up to this other side. But there was nobody to tell you, like when your class was going on. So if you got caught over there, you're going to be screwed. Anyway, I couldn't see anything. I needed to put oil on. And this guy, I kept running into the same guy. We kept doing the same shows. He was from like another part of Michigan. Never saw him any other time. Facebook wasn't even super popular yet. But we'd run into each other at the shows. And we'd always compete against each other. I was like, hey, what's up, man? You know? So him and I, we were like, hey, let's go outside. And we'll put our oil on outside. We've got 15 minutes. So we had to walk through the front of the theater and walk out the front doors, walk down the sidewalk, and then walk over to the alleyway where we're going to do our tans. And it's hot, okay? It's a summer day. There's a bunch of people from the hood all hanging out all over the streets. I'm in my flip-flops and some purple underwear, covered in paint, and so is this other guy, you know.
Oh boy, nice thinking, guys. This is gonna go over well.
People were yelling at us. They're like, put on some goddamn clothes, stuff like that. We're hearing all this stuff and we're just like, oh shit, we're back there putting oil on each other and everything. That was a good day.
Yeah, it was our first erotic show in the neighborhood from two men pulling the Robert Downey Jr.
It's something you would expect to see in San Francisco, not Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frowned upon in Detroit, for sure. That's amazing. That's the lead story right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scott and another guy in the alleyway.
At least,
title of the show. Two guys and some lube in an alley. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Bright side, if I was the type of guy that was going to like try to rob people, I would probably just want to keep distance from both of you.
Oh, yeah.
That's one good thing. Like, I don't know. No one's going to run up to you and try to touch you.
What are they going
to
take?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell you one more then, because remember when we were talking about weird tans? We're talking about like how tans are weird. So yeah. I may have told you guys this a long time ago. I know I told it, but it's been years on another show that my girlfriend and I were going to the night show. And this is back when you did your own tan. So it's not super even. It doesn't look really good, right? And I've got my hoodie on. I had the same old rotten hoodie that I would wear to every show because it would just get messed up. And I'm sitting in the passenger seat and we had to get gas. So I'm sitting there like this, just in the passenger seat, and she gets out of the car. We're driving to the Redford Theater, rough area. So we stop and get gas. Happens to be a rough area. Some lady starts walking over to the car. And you could tell she's down on her luck. Looks like she's strung out. And there's no question. She's going to be like, hey, do you have $5? You know, something like that. And she gets close to the car. And I look up at her. And she makes eye contact with me and literally stops. And turns around and walks away.
I might be down on my luck, but this guy's way worse.
She didn't know what to think. She was like, yeah, no, we're not gonna talk with him.
You looked like a cracked out meth head with his hood up.
Your face sunk in.
Yeah, yeah.
Covered in dirt.
Painted.
Yeah. She was like, oh, this car already has a
car without her knowing.
Yeah. Yeah. So this car already has a homeless person in it. I'll just walk away.
That's what it pretty much looks like. Yeah.
Seats taken.
Seats taken.
So anyway, that was I was going to tell you guys that the other week, but we were out of time at the moment there.
Should have made time for that one.
Yeah, that was good.
How about this? What's the best exercise or exercises to bring out the Adonis belt or the lower abs / obliques?
Oh, it's body fat levels. Yeah.
Get leaner.
Get leaner. Just got to get leaner. You know, if your abs suck, train your abs too. You know, some guys have big brick abs. They don't really need to do crunches and stuff. But if you don't have those, might help once you get lean enough. But, you know, lift heavy and hard. You should have core muscles.
Yeah. All right. So here's one that I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say. Jerry asks us, he says, have you guys posted on a timeline, social media page, or somebody's famous and they actually respond and you end up having a conversation and then you think to yourself, holy crap, I'm actually talking to so-and-so. I've been posting on the net since the 90s and I'm still enamored at how easy it is to have a conversation with people these days that never would have happened in years prior. Says, got into a conversation with Robert Irvin, Josh Gates, and a few others, and was absolutely blown away. If possible, maybe give examples outside of bodybuilding. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
That's an interesting idea, like interesting thing that could happen. I don't necessarily know if I could think of anyone outside of bodybuilding that I've corresponded with online who's like crazy famous. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that are really great. Like I've talked to a lot of people that are maybe world champions at what they do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say they're famous. I haven't had I don't have an Instagram thread going with Ryan Reynolds or anything like that. You know, although he is from Vancouver.
You don't. That's pathetic. I do.
But no, yeah,
I'm the same. I just don't interact. The
closest
can think of is, and it wasn't like a starstruck thing. It's just the realization. Like when you're training in Gold's Venice back in the day, you quickly realize what a lot of people don't understand, which is that people are just people. I mean, when you're training in Gold's Venice, you will run into like A-list celebrities and they're like, I got a spot because they need a spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's
who did you
really,
spot then? Who have you spotted?
Actually, the I think the coolest, I didn't spot, but the coolest person that I've met and seen train was John Cena because he is an animal.
Yeah.
That was actually in San Diego at World's Gym back in the day, which is now called The Gym. He would go into the gym and train like any of us, like an animal, and leave.
Yeah.
I mean, There is zero celebrity with that guy.
Yeah,
other
that's
than
cool.
That he is a celebrity. And it's. I mean, that's another one where you look around, there's John Cena squatting 5 plates. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, but I think that's the main takeaway, obviously, because it's not in line with his comments, but you do just realize, like, of course, if you have something to say that, you know, hits them as something they're interested in or have an opinion on, you know, it is nothing to them. They're not thinking like, oh, I'm talking to this peasant. They're like, oh, good thought. I didn't think about that, you know?
My very first time to Gold's Venice, I ran into Rowdy Roddy Piper. And he was like, you know, and I was a wrestling fan in the 80s and 90s, right? So, you know, I'm at the gym and I go to use this machine and this older guy's on. He's got his hood up and he's kind of got a limp and he's doing curls. And I just go, hey, how many sets you got left? And he goes, just work in. And then I'm like, oh, it's Rowdy Roddy Piper.
No
and
kidding.
So I did a set and then he kind of chatted and I had a Canadian flag on my belt. And
okay.
He goes, oh, you're from Canada. And I was like, yeah. He goes, oh, awesome, man. And he like shook my hand. And then like I went and then I wound up actually training arms with Craig Titus that day, which is another story. And then afterwards, I think it was maybe the next day, I saw Roddy again and he walked me down to Max Muscle.
No kidding.
Yeah, like Rowdy's like, I go, hey, he was sitting on the bench outside with this dude. And I go, hey, do you know where Max Muscle is? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'll walk you down. We're going to eat. And so I just walked with Rowdy Roddy Piper, like on the street down. And then he goes, it's right there. And then he goes, the Firehouse is right there. And I was like, oh, awesome. You know, but I'd already been to Firehouse at Craig the day before. So I was like, ah, that was a fun trip. I mean, yeah. But yeah, but it's just funny, you know, like Rowdy Roddy Piper. And you're right. You're like Dusty said, like, maybe it's something about the gym. Like you see a celebrity in other settings. It's different. You see him at the gym. And as a gym person, you're like, huh. That's like, I'm not going to bug that person. It says like sacred time, you know, like I get it. They're just like me. The gym maybe is a little bit of a different type of place to see a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, maybe brings everything down to the same level a little more, maybe. I don't know.
You could see gravity that. Will do that to you.
Yeah. 200 pounds is 200 pounds, man.
So I kind of lied. That wasn't the question. I was really excited to hear your opinions on. But as I started reading it, I was like, oh, yeah.
This is a wrestling show, by the way. We've covered a lot of wrestlers today.
Yeah, we really have, haven't we?
Yeah, just accidental wrestling edition. Sorry about that.
All right, how about this one? Here's a question. Given Dusty's joke about posting a client's pictures without permission, and because I've seen it, says about four times now, a coach posts their clients' AM check-ins with a complete with a toilet seat donut imprint on the back shot. And I wondered, should a client expect that their check-in photos will be posted without notice? I was rather irritated that the coach outed me outed my before and after. Oh, okay. So it happened to him too, which I don't dare post publicly myself. He says, irritated, not horrified.
I've never done that. Doesn't matter who it is.
It's brutal.
First off, usually I only share anything you see on my page means they've already shared it.
Yeah.
I'm just reposting. Yeah, yeah. Or if they have like a really good transformation, I'll ask for permission. Like, hey, no pressure, and I'll just tell them like, it's not even about me. Just super proud of your work and I'd like to put it up. And no one's ever said no, but I've never. It's like Ron said last episode. This is not part of the deal. That's stealing at that point. Like if they want to be shared, then absolutely. And the same thing I tell clients in the beginning, like if you tag me, I will reshare. If you don't, I just assume you don't want people to know we work together and that's fine. That's poor taste of a coach to do that.
Yeah. This whole thing, like, I don't know. I hear stories like, okay, you have to put my name in your bio. And all photos sent to me are my property.
Yeah.
Like this whole thing, like, fuck. Like, just coach the person. Like, I don't care if anyone even says my name. I could give less of a shit. Like, you could go win your show. Obviously, it's nice if you say thank you. But, like, you don't have to put up a post. You don't have to tag me. If you do, I'd be very happy to share it. But that's just, I don't know. That stuff kind of irritates me. Especially
start
when that's
putting
like
things in the background and the foreground that they won't repost. I think that will help you a lot.
Yeah. Or just tell them like, hey, I don't know. I'd be mad. Like if I was this person who doesn't want to even post them themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's one thing if you're like a world champion, like I'm sure Milos can throw up a photo of Regan without asking him.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Like it's not, there's a difference, right?
Totally different thing. But, for sure.
Yeah. You know, you're someone getting ready for a show. Maybe you're self-conscious about you think your hamstrings are small or you don't want to get flamed or whatever. Like the coach can't just go blasting everybody. Look at my work, you know?
Yeah.
I consider that similar to when people decide randomly to screenshot a private conversation over text and post it. I'm like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was like, every time I see it, I just cringe. I'm like, I don't think that was meant to be public or it would be reply all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had that happen to me. Yeah. And it's like, you know, luckily I didn't say anything dumb, but if the person was just like, oh, look, this person agrees, you know, Ron agrees with me. And they posted a screenshot and I was like, oh, good thing it wasn't anything terrible.
Oh, I did it to you guys the other day. Do you remember that?
Did you?
Yeah, well, Ron saw it. Dusty didn't because he's not part of the Facebook group. Remember that comment was there was a question in the group. It was something like, "What if Ron and Dusty were a couple? Who would be the top?" Something that was, remember that? And I screencapped that and I sent it to you guys. You guys had a couple funny jabs and I screencapped that and I posted it. I was like, here's their response, guys.
Yes. Well, see, that's a Regan Milos moment. You're trying to promote the overall goodness of the show, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think too, like you were saying, Ron, though, that if anybody wants to read, like when you reach a certain point where your whole life is on the internet, I don't need permission. Like, you don't need to ask me permission to put anything up.
Right.
But yeah. But I still do think, because I had a client one time, I'm just going to add one more insult, that decided it would be a good idea to post his cycle. Dusty has me using.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. No, Dusty said if you lived in a country where it was legal and hypothetically you were going to do these things, this is what you would do.
This is what Dusty would do if you were in that situation.
If it were me and I was in this legal, I was like, I immediately reached out. I'm like, you're an idiot. I mean, I wasn't even nice. I'm like, no, absolutely not. What are you doing? We don't live in England. This is different. So,
but
you got to use your head, a hair. And the coaches really do tend to think there's some sort of ownership.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, you don't need to write how many client wins you have and post it on a big board and a big picture and say, I've won 562 shows, because you haven't. You've won none. Anyways, moving on from our earlier conversation.
What do you guys think of this? What do you guys think of, like, I've had people say to me, like, oh, yeah, I'm, you know, like, I don't have a coach right now. Well, I kind of do, but I don't. And I'm like, what do you mean you kind of do? And they're like, well, I signed up with this one guy for 6 months, so I still owe him. I'm still paying him for another 2 months. But like, I told him I didn't want to work with him anymore. But I can't really afford another coach right now because I'm still paying this other guy for another 2 months.
What is he reaching out to you then, or what do you mean? Well,
theoretically, but I'm just giving you the conversation. Yeah, like, yeah, I want to get a new coach, but I can't right now because I'm still paying this other guy. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, well, I signed up for 6 months.
Oh. Right?
But what do you mean? You sign, like, he's got you on like a contract, like a gym?
Yeah.
How does that work? I don't know. I think that's just ridiculous.
Like, a lot of them do it.
Fire him. Just message him and go, I'm not going to work with you anymore. And he goes, okay, cool. And he turns your payment off. That's how hard it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had a guy when I was in a coma that had to go to another coach that part of the deal while I was in a coma, knowing I hopefully wasn't going to die, was for him to take it over. He had to sign a 1 year with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean, like, sign a 1 year? Just tell that person to shove it up their ass.
That's the funniest part is, there's for those watching, there's no repercussion. You just go, yeah, no. And you just call your credit card company and you tell them, don't allow them to take any more money.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you're a good coach, you shouldn't need to trap people with a contract. Do you think Chris Aceto has people signing shit?
No. Yeah. God, no. Mm-hmm.
No. Like, come on. I think my questionnaire, that's
part of it, is this is month to month for everyone. And what re-ups the contract is when you pay again. That's it. And if you stop, it's fine. I mean, it literally says, because my whole thing is this, every month I'm earning the right to train you again. And if I don't earn it, we're done. Or if you don't want to anymore, or you run out of money, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't want a client who doesn't want to be with me either. Like,
If you stop checking in, like, there's people where like they stop checking in and I reach out to them and I hear, oh, sorry. I'll get right back to you. And then like another month goes by and I reach out to them again. I'm like, hey, you haven't checked into me forever. I'm like, yeah, I've just been really busy. I'll get to you again. There comes a point where I'll just turn their payment off.
Like
I turned a guy off the other day because he didn't respond to me for a little while. So I just turned his payment off. And then he got back, and then all of a sudden he messaged me because he must have got the email.
Yeah.
And then he messaged me. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, man. I'm going to get you a set of photos here right away. Oh, I'm like, no problem, man. I just didn't want to keep taking your money.
Right.
He's like,
no worries.
He's like, I'm almost done building my house, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'll reach out to you again right away. I'm still training. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
I don't want to take people's money if they're not actually getting a service, you know?
Yeah.
That said, I did have one guy who paid me for a month. And I spent all the time writing out his diet and put everything together for him. And then for training, I said, all right, I want you to, you know, start doing what you've been doing, but send me videos and let's talk about your training. Never got back to me, never checked in once. And it was through PayPal. And then I got a dispute. He wanted his money back like 3 months later. Never heard back from him. I gave him his money back, but he was one of the, what's that?
I've done that. But if you do it against, because I did the work, yeah. I'll win that dispute. All yeah. you got to do is send it to PayPal that it was done.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
happened to me once in 14 years. It happened one time.
Yeah.
And in fairness, I reached out to the lady, told her, and something had went on, and she said, dispute it, but I'm going to need a new PayPal. So it wasn't even her fault.
Oh.
But something weird happened with their account, and I guess they locked out everything. And I yeah. was one of the ones that just automatically disputed. So thankfully, I reached out because I was pissed when I saw it. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, I called the guy, and of course he did. I called him right away. He didn't answer. So, and shocking. He was one of the few people that I thought about posting his picture without his permission because I was angry.
Let's
I was
going to
post it and be like,
Let's
hey, I can't even remember what his name was. I couldn't even remember what his name was, but if it was, I was going to say it and say like, hey, coaches, look out for this guy, you know, but I'm glad I didn't.
Here's a question for you. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
How much money have people not paid you?
Too much. Oh. I'd probably be rich by now. Like seriously. I'm terrible at that. I really am.
Yeah. No, it's been a lot, and it's some of it's your own. I mean, they're always my fault
when I've done
that. Because I let it slide or you'll let it accumulate. But the thing is like when you're in a prep and it's going well and they come on a hard time, like there's that part of me that I'm also like in the trenches with them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, dude, like, please don't screw me. And we do the work and it goes well. And 99% of the time they pay. So,
yeah.
You know, there's just that occasional. But I think it's important to understand, just like loaning money. When you loan money, assume you're not getting it back. That way it's not a terrible thing when you don't.
Yeah.
So you got to do that. Like as a coach, if you make that decision, understand you're making a decision that will probably or could possibly cost you the time and you won't get the money. Not the end of the world to feel good about it.
Yeah.
I had a weird one once. I helped this guy. I remember it was a 16-week prep. He looked really good. He had striated glutes. He got second out of like 10 guys. He was a light heavyweight. I remember it.
Jeff Smith.
And then kidding. He, sorry?
I said Jeff Smith. Kidding.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about the Jeff Smiths. No, and then he messaged me after the show and he's like, he goes, hey, can you, since my show's over, can you turn my payment off? And I go, yeah, no problem. Like, you know, he's like, I just can't, you know, I can't do like an off season or anything right now. I got to like, and I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I said, yeah, I turned your payment off. No problem. And I go, you know, just, you know, don't blow up, watch what you eat, you know, take, you know, and I said, I'm going to send you this, you know, little kind of thing you can follow. And I did. And then he messaged me again. He's like, hey, I was wondering if I could get a little bit of a refund. And I go, for what? And he goes, well, my payment came out 3 weeks before my show. So I actually paid for an extra week after that I don't need. And I'm like, yeah, but you pay by the month.
Yeah.
It's like,
you could keep going. You could keep going after the show and start.
Yeah. Like I even gave you a rebound plan.
Yeah.
On like the Monday, which is technically like 2 days after your show. So now there's only 5 days left that I'm not helping you. Like, what are you going to
do? How many days were in that month? Because you got to do the math and you got to divide by
Okay. You want to have, okay, we'll break on the calculator.
$23. Like,
$17.22.
I'm like, you want me to refund you like 25% of a month because your show was 3 weeks into the month? Like, come on now. Like, just weird stuff. So,
yeah.
All right.
Live and learn.
Thanks. How about this one, guys? He says, also from Patreon. What things were challenging to you when you were north of 300 pounds? So we talked about this before, but I'm looking for like one specific things like cutting toenails, dealing with your hair, trying to tie shoelaces, trying to put on a jacket. I remember trying to put on a seatbelt. I wasn't even nowhere near 300 pounds. And it was very uncomfortable just to go over there like that.
I remember doing that same form. Was that difficult, Scott?
You just you're on bottom. That's it. It's that easy.
Oh man.
When your quads are so huge, when you're 320 plus, your quads are so huge, and chicks try to ride you, but their knees don't touch the bed, so they're on like a because your quads are so huge that they can't like even you know. It's like,
I've got some people nodding currently that are listening to this episode right now. Any woman who's been with a big ass Bible is like, yeah, that kind of changes the game. You have to go froggy, girls, froggy.
Yeah. What are all those jokes? Girls just squat all day and then 10 seconds into riding, they're like, oh, my knees. Oh, my knees. Very valid. You do lunges three times a week. What do you mean your knees? Come on. Suck it up.
Oh, very, very true. Very true. Oh, man. That's good stuff.
I think we answered that. I think we answered that.
This is a group answer this time.
All right. What's an ideal body fat for a natural guy for growing? He says, should you be like 8 to 12% body fat? Anywhere else in between that? Thanks and love the show.
I don't see, like, I know I got a little fatter than I probably needed to, like a dozen times or so. But I don't think, like, there's anything wrong with that 10 to 12%. I mean, you're still pretty lean at 10 to 12%. I would even say up to like 14 is acceptable for like a big dude off season. But again, like, what do these numbers mean? Are we talking DEXA scans or, you know, calipers, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say. But, yeah, I mean, like, a big dude dropping 50 pounds for a show is not that out of, you know, it's not that crazy. No. You know, 40 pounds, a little bit better maybe, but, you know, there's room for it.
I think that you kind of nailed it, which is I used to always, if I was going to put a number on it, it'd be 14, but if I was really going to put something on it, would be if your body fat is high enough that it's negatively impacting your training, it's too high.
Yeah.
And that takes place. If oxygen's becoming an issue because you're too fat, if your lower back is tightening up all the time because you're too heavy, those are the factors I'd look at more than anything. But I do think that because of social media, guys are trying to stay too lean and grow. Especially if you're natural and or you don't want to abuse the hell out of drugs. Because that is a missing link that doesn't get talked about right now. And guys are like, I got a guy down the road that's 8% body fat and he's growing. And I'm like, I want to see his blood work.
Yeah.
Because there is a reason. If you go back to the 90s and 2000s, and if you've ever been at a bodybuilding show and you saw Ronnie Coleman roll in at 330, he wasn't lean. Jay Cutler, go online. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, look at that era at the Pittsburgh Pro, or, you know, when the guys would come in and guest pose. They're soft because that's how you get big. Yeah, you know, huge. So I think that is the magic, particularly as a natural, because you don't have something to enhance you beyond food and training. So you're going to need to eat to grow.
Yep.
Oh, see, do I get pull up a picture of Ronnie Guest posing? Yeah, buddy. Here we go. Let's see here. Here you go from Pittsburgh Pro.
Jeez, like I've seen it before.
Boom.
Yeah.
There's a big Ronnie for you.
And then these guys would say, oh, that's way too, you don't need to get that fat. It seemed to work out okay for him.
Yeah, no kidding.
He got relatively lean come October every year.
Look at this. You could still see his abs in this one. Like, he's not looking too rough.
Well, he's in great shape there.
You know what I mean? He's not looking too rough there.
No,
I mean, but it's like a full different
time of year. That's blown out. That's like, I guarantee you that's after a show, or, you know what I mean?
He's
tight as hell there.
He looks pretty just like full blown there too.
He's got like five meals in him.
Yeah, yeah.
His whole life was full blown for about two decades.
I have a friend that brought Ronnie up a bunch of times for guest appearances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he would stay at his house and he would just say, he's like, man, like it just became like a joke. How many steaks could Ronnie eat? How much food could he eat while he was here? Like, he said he would just feed him. Like, it would almost be a joke. Like, he'd try to stock his fridge with so many steaks and so much food that Ronnie couldn't eat it and Ronnie would eat it.
Yeah. And it just to prove that he could.
Yeah. It just became this just incredible event whenever Ronnie came to stay at his house. He's like, oh man, got the barbecue tanks ready to go. We're ready to go. Yeah. So he said he'd eat like 2 12-ounce steaks at a meal. Like, no problem. Just
no kidding.
Like, every meal he'd eat 2 12-ounce steaks, all his carbs, just shoveling food, not weighing a single thing, nothing getting weighed, like just eat.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, two more real quick. Jim McDonald, also from Patreon. He says, is there anything worse than when you've worked so hard and you were so disciplined that you earn a cheat meal and then the meal that you choose ends up sucking?
Very few things in the entire world that are worse.
Yeah.
Including wars, yeah. Death. I mean, I say the only thing worse would be like a sick puppy. Other than that, nothing.
It's funny.
It's pretty bad.
Fast food to me, fast food is one or the other every time.
True.
And there's like a little gamble on it, you know? So every once in a while, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to get a burger at a drive-thru. I don't do it very often at all. And sometimes you get it and you're like, oh, that was so delicious, you know? And then other times you get it and you're halfway through it and you're like, this was a terrible idea.
Yeah, why? You're regretting your life.
I should have gone to that pickup spot and got some teriyaki beef and rice. Why the hell did I do this? Like, and it's just not nearly as good as you were hoping. So yeah, there's that little risk.
I did Ron, you'll love this, but I had like a flashback conversation about Burger King back in the day. And it used to be like phenomenal. And then I went back years later and it was garbage.
Terrible.
I mean,
I really did get
garbage.
Bad. Yeah.
And so Burger King's I don't know what terrible. Happened, but I got this like wild hair that I was going to go to Burger King. So I went to the one down the road here and it was closed. And the worst part was I go to the side, says, sorry, we're closed. No D. I was like, you run out of ink? Close. So now I'm irritated. So I was like, whatever. Next week,
and stubborn.
I tell Nikki, I go back, it's closed again. I'm like, Burger King must still suck.
Yeah.
So finally, I'm going to Burger King and Taylor goes, there's one on Pelham. Go to that one. Huh. So I go to that one. I bring it home and it was everything I remembered from years ago. It was worth the struggle I went through.
Really?
I literally took a bite of a Whopper and I was like, I don't know if it was the struggle that made it so good or if it was actually that good, but it was. So anybody who's listening, again, if your Burger King sucks, that's on you. But the one on Pelham, the one with the homeless lady in the front, that one's good. I've been there once. I know this.
You know what I haven't had from Burger King in years? Like I'm talking years, and I loved them, were their French toast sticks. Those things were really good.
Oh,
I forgot those about really those. Good.
Yeah.
They got a nice like McFlurry generic thing there. There's only like two flavors, but Taylor accompanied me on this trip to the Pelham one and she got one and I was like, oh, that thing fucks for sure. It was amazing looking. So for those who are there picking up their Whopper that they might be disappointed in, you'll be fine with the dessert.
Yes. I still haven't gone to Chick-fil-A, by the way. I haven't had the opportunity, but I'm not going to let the line deter me when that opportunity does arise.
They're efficient and get the cookies. Remember the cookies.
I'm getting that. Also, somebody mentioned the Costco cookies are real good. I'll probably be trying those sooner than the Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Well, yeah, you're there more often. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, book your travel through Costco for anybody who's watching this show.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. So, you know, we do the Dominican deal. So we decided to go back and we're like, all right, let's just do the same thing. It was awesome.
Okay.
And Nikki tells her PT this. She's like, oh yeah, we're going to go back to the Dominican. She goes, oh, did you book yet? And she said, no, but we just looked it up and it's going to be just under $8,000 for the week. Everything, flights, the whole thing. And she goes, oh, book it through Costco. She's like, why? It's way cheaper. $5,600.
Really?
For everything for the same deal.
Huh.
I was like, it felt free all of a sudden. It's like, it's like $2,000 literally saved just by ordering it through them.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. Everybody in Costco, you're welcome. You owe me again.
I heard they're selling gold now.
Too. Well, it was under 8,000.
You can buy gold from Costco too.
Well, you could do that if you're not smart enough to buy Bitcoin.
well, you don't want to put it all in Bitcoin. You know what I mean? It's for the, the money that you want to keep. The money that you want to keep, all you know. All in? I'm not going all in.
Hedge that U.S. dollar. Hedge that U.S. dollar.
Hundreds a week for years. That's the magic.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right. We do have more, but we could. I think this is a good place that we.
I think we can end it on McDonald's and travel. It's perfect.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Burger King.
I might have some KFC today. Because of this talk.
Oh.
I've been driving.
Jay wasn't impressed when he went.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw Jay first time in 50 years. He never had KFC.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like those tenders. Those like original recipe tenders. Those are amazing. So I'm going to go get
the hot sauce. Get the hot sauce. Trust me. It's good to throw right on them.
Okay. Yes. I'll think about it.
It's not white. It's red.
No, I know. But how hot, you know, is it like?
No, I'm not into this.
Canadian hot?
No. Yeah, okay. No, it's not like Canadian cold. It's a mild thing.
Okay.
We did get multiple comments like this one. Ron, Subway. Isn't that a sandwich? Ron said he ate Subway every day for a long
time. Totally different thing. Listen to what he put on it. Chicken, bread. Is there anything else that was on your sandwich?
There was a bit of cheese. Lettuce. Some cheese.
Cheese.
No. Yeah. See? The hatred of sandwiches is in like letting other people decide what's on it. Like ordering a sandwich at a restaurant. Like, I'll just get the like, people just go, give me the club. And then they just keep talking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, No, don't you have questions? So you want to know exactly what's on it? Like,
what's on that club?
Yeah. Like, it's a good club. I don't know whatever they put on it.
And see, some people thought maybe you burnt yourself out from eating all those sandwiches.
No. I did for a while, though. I didn't have Subway for a while. Yeah, I took a little break.
There was a whole debate in the comments on YouTube.
It went sideways. Ron ate a lot of sandwiches. It turns out he's been lying to us for all these years. He was holding. He was hoarding the sandwiches for himself, is what he
burned
was doing.
Myself out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're going to use the Patreon money this year to get Ron a new internet. We need new internet for Ron. It's been awful the whole show.
The whole episode.
My image is awful?
Really? It's awful. Yes. It's terrible. Yeah.
Oh.
It looks like I'm watching TV in the 90s or the 80s.
You could have sent a little message. I thought it was all right.
Well, it cleared up. And then, so I was going to say like, hey, let's reconnect. But then it cleared up. But then it went back to awful again.
I wouldn't have looked at it awful myself because I was like, you know what? This is my moment to be better looking than Ron.
Your moment to shine.
That's interesting. It looks fine to me.
Oh, he's coming back. There goes my moment. It's already ending.
Looks fine to me.
It's looking better. It's looking better as we speak.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, remember, like, share, subscribe, comment, and
ring the bell. I even hit it. Jeez.
There you go. Remember, iamutant.com, Dusty20, Big Ron 20. Get your ISO surge, get your all in, and everyone get on the gear. Patreon, Think Big Bodybuilding.
Thank you, guys.
Keep a producer homed. Thanks for everything. Thanks for your questions, Patreon questions, YouTube questions. I'm going to go on the YouTube today and I comment a little bit more and, you know, answer some of the stuff that's on there. Because that branch got the branch video got quite a bit of comments on it. So I'll look at that today. Okay, guys. Look forward to the next one.
What's the deal? What's you're going to be traveling or something coming up here? What's going on?
Yeah, so I've got Sunday. Yeah, on Sunday I leave for Europe again. So I'm going to England for a couple days. Nice. I'm shooting an episode of Mutant on a Mission at the Shed with Hollings.
Oh, nice.
And he's going to be 5 days out cuz he's leaving the next day for Detroit.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's actually going to he's like, we'll do the episode. He goes, I got to train. Why not?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So we're going to do the episode. JP said he's going to stop by and do like a bit with me. Or something like that. Like he's gonna be in it. Nice. He's not gonna train, I don't think. And then flying to Frankfurt, and I've got a gym lined up there, a German gym owned by David Hoffman. Anyone knows David Hoffman from Germany? He was a pro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People remember him from the Universal ads. He was like in those old Universal ads with Antoine back in the day. Yeah, David Hoffman's got a gym now in Koblenz. So I'm gonna go there and train with David and film an episode of Mutant on a Mission and then head up to Cologne for the weekend.
All right. So does that mean how long are we off then?
Well, I'm gone Sunday to the following Monday night.
Okay. So
we could do a Monday. I'll bring in a side guest here.
Okay. We could say a side piece.
Can't say that anymore.
No.
It gets me in trouble.
Yeah. It's not good. We'll bring it. Good. That sounds good. We'll figure something out then. So we'll be here Monday without Ron. And then we'll figure something out for the next week. If you're free, maybe a live or something the following week or something like that. Because you guys are both going to
be
gone.
We'll be back for that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Okay. Just wanted to let the people, I wanted to see what I was doing. I was letting the people know ahead of time.
Let them know.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good, guys. Remember, everybody, it's just bodybuilding.